Remember what we thought was Sarah Palin's mashup of the words refute and repudiate to form refudiate. In her new reality show, the cameras were there when she discovered her mistake.
Oh, jeez. Yesterday I Twittered the word repudiate instead of repudiate, pressed an F instead of a D, and people freaked out. So now we're saying, no.
As MSNBC's Chris Matthews pointed out, a D would have made it redudiate, but never mind. If it was a typo, as she said, it was one of the best of the year. In fact, the new Oxford American Dictionary named refudiate its word of the year. Merriam-Webster chose austerity. Steve Kleinetter is a senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionary. Steve, did American Heritage have a word of the year?
We don't get on the word of the year bandwagon for a couple of reasons. One, it was originally the realm of the American Dialect Society, and all of my colleagues at all the dictionaries belong to this organization. Every year in January when they vote on the words, it's a lot of fun, a lot of discussions. But one of the reasons why we, the American Heritage Dictionary, don't get onto the bandwagon is we are more interested in words that have staying power. And a lot of these words of the year are very ephemeral. They come and go. They're not really worthy of inclusion. Sometimes they are, and we'll enter them when it's appropriate, but we feel a lot of times it's premature to bring them up.
Oh, come on. You don't think butt call is going to make it into the dictionary? One of our listeners wrote that that was her favorite word of the year, and for the uninitiated, it's that call you get, and you get to listen on the other end because someone's sitting on their phone.
Right. To be truthful, that certainly wasn't developed this year, and that's something that the American Dialect Society members had found. A lot of these things that are proposed as new words are actually 2, 3, 4, in some cases, decades, years old. So there's a tricky one-upsmanship you get when you try to figure out, you know, what word came in what year.
Well, and we heard a lot about that on our website as well, because people are saying hacktivist is one of the new words. And they said, no, it's not. It's very old.
Well, also, you've got all these very clever people, and I don't mean that in a negative way, but very clever people, very good writers, coining these phrases. A lot of times they're combinations of words, portmanteau words.
Portmanteau words.
In Lewis Carroll's a good example. In Alice in Wonderland, like chortle, a combination of chuckle and snort. All of these words from Jabberwocky.
"'Twas brillig
in the slithy toves.
Right.
Exactly. Any clever person can combine two words and combine two concepts. So this sort of that's just part of the phenomenon of how fun, all the fun you can have with English. You can cram any two words together. Does that necessarily merit its inclusion in the dictionary? Not necessarily. So, you know, slacktivist is a fun word.
Slacktivism, that came to us from Karen Salvador, and she quotes Wikipedia, that slacktivism is a portmanteau. It's formed out of the words slacker and activism. It's a pejorative. It's feel-good support of something, but really you have no practical effect. Which is sort of what you're saying about some of these new words.
I mean, if I had to pick one of the coolest invented words, there was a recapping website, I believe it was Television Without Pity, that for these reality TV shows, the one involving cooking, it was about Top Chef, I believe, they started calling the contestants chef-testants. And then that word picked up, and now Bravo uses it themselves. And I thought, okay, there, that's a really cool, I mean, it's not anything we would enter, but it's a very clever use that has actually been picked up by some other people.
Yeah.
And so to the coiner of that term, I say bravo.
Well, but would you put it in the dictionary?
Probably not, unless if several different media sources picked up on it and it became this mainstream word, if they gave, you know, Emmys out to the best chef testant of the year, you know, we'd be more likely to consider it. But it's really got a long way to go before it would be something we'd enter.
Well, what words are you adding at the American Heritage Dictionary?
Many of them, of course, are technical scientific terms, but there are some words from the pop culture that do go in. One of them is paywall.
Now, just remind us, this is a play on firewall, and it means what?
It's a combination of the word pay and firewall, and it's a feature of a website that will deny access to content to users who have not paid to view it.
And what's another one?
There are all these ER words. You've got the birthers, the truthers, the tenthers. We did decide to add birther simply because of the prominence that it played during the midterm elections, where you had numerous mainstream news sources using this term in context, and more importantly, using it without glossing what it meant. A lot of time you'll see a new word, and when a newspaper or a cable station writes it or says, they'll explain what it is. It's like, you know, here's this word and this is what it means. But when they start using these words without explaining what it means, that's another test. It's another sign that the word has become more word-like.
Well, you know, you can apply the same thinking to the way the New York Times writes about celebrities.
Mm-hmm.
You are Bruce Springsteen, the guitarist, until...
You are Bruce Springsteen.
You're Bruce Springsteen, right.
And then later you become just Bruce.
That's right. So, okay, so Bertha, again, we should probably say that those are the people who think that President Obama was not born in the United States, despite the fact that the state of Hawaii claims to have his birth certificate. And you've already said that, you know, you're looking for words that have longevity, gravitas, if people start using it without defining it. But is it also a part of making some kind of historical record of what people said?
This is a good example of exactly that. This word was so prominent in this election year, you're going to get, in years to come, when people come back and they read about this time period, books, newspaper articles, it was a prominent enough term. And as I said, it was being used without being glossed, that it is then part of this historical record.
And by the way, you say the bulk of the work, the real work, is not slang, but it's, you know, real scientific terms that are, I'm imagining, flying at you.
Yes. The bulk of the work that dictionary editors do is fairly mundane. Our life science editor has spent the last several years working with consultants updating the genus and species terminology of thousands of plants and animals. I spent several years with a chemist going over every single chemistry-related definition and word in the dictionary. Scientists decide to, you know, move this plant from this order to that order, or from this genus to that genus.
Or kill a planet.
Or kill a plant, absolutely.
There goes your whole dictionary.
Well, that provided a lot of work. In 2006, when the IAU demoted Pluto to a dwarf planet, that brought about a whole bunch of new terminology that we put in fairly quickly. Plutoid, Plutino, trans-Neptunian object, all kinds of things, along with this technical depth. And we had to redefine what planet meant.
Yeah.
So now we have a classical sense and this newer sense that has to do with sweeping the neighborhood of the orbit and all kinds of things.
Well, so you've made it clear that you're about the business of words that endure.
Yes.
But as somebody who really has this front row seat on how we talk and what we say, what are some of the fun words that you liked from the past year, even though they wouldn't pass muster and get in?
I watch reality shows. Oh, there's one I can't say on the air.
One you can't say on the air. Okay.
Do you want me to tell you? You can edit it.
Yeah, tell me.
Discrepancy. It's when you on the design shows when the dress is off. And the bust is misshapen. It's a discrepancy.
They actually say that?
Well, they write it.
So that won't be making it into the American Heritage Dictionary. But it's certainly a fun selection. Steve Kleinedler, he is senior editor of the American Heritage Dictionary, talking about some of the linguistic highs and lows of 2010. Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you.
Oh, Happy New Year to you as well.